This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.
Welcome to Books Uncovered, an exciting conversation about books and literary events, brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
I'm Holly.
And I'm Bella.
Over the next half hour, we'll dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library. Kia ora, welcome to another show. Thanks for tuning in. Today we're doing things a little bit different. Bella's not here, but I have Jasmine Taylor in the studio with me. Kia ora, Jasmine.
Kia ora, thanks for having me.
Thank you for coming in very last minute. Jasmine's a poet and lives here in Otipoti. And yeah, I'm just going to ask her a little bit about your writing journey. And you were just saying that you're not actually from here.
Right. So I moved to Otipoti in 2002 when I was 18 to follow a friend who was coming here to study, and I had nothing to do. I didn't go to uni and I didn't have a job, so I thought, I'll come too.
Awesome.
And that was meant to be for 3 months, but here I still am, 23-ish years later. And Otipoti has always been so welcoming and full of art, which I think really captured my attention when I got here. So I never really looked back.
Oh, awesome. Yeah. And whereabouts did you grow up then?
I grew up in Ōtautahi, Christchurch, in the Shirley St. Albans area. It's just a standard Christchurch suburban life. Went to public school and, you know, I had a good time. But when I turned 18, suddenly I had nothing to do and
got out of there.
So, yeah, I just left.
Awesome. I kind of did that as well, but from here and was 17 and then came back.
Well, yeah, I mean, I still go back to Christchurch now and then, but
yeah, it's a good close distance.
Yeah, and my family's there, but it is in some ways, thankfully, a completely different place than when I lived there. So it's always quite refreshing to go home now. And then whenever I come back, I feel snugly and secure in Dunedin.
Awesome. And so, yeah, you're a poet. And so how did you get into writing? Where did that begin?
Well, I don't know. I've always been a words person and like doing language at high school and really loving the English classes. But I'd never really thought of me being a writer. I've always been a huge reader. But I think being in Dunedin and being like surrounded by the art scene and the literary scene, it all just seemed to, I don't know, I always found myself at events and meeting authors. And then one time I went to the Octagon Poetry Collective open mic night, which was at the time in the Circadian Rhythm Cafe, which now I think is a kebab house.
Yeah, on St. Andrew Street.
Yeah. Near Saigon Van, I think. And I immediately just felt the community of the whole organization, like it was pretty loose and there wasn't really much of a structure that I could see at first, but I was inspired to actually properly start writing. And
awesome.
It's basically the last 14 years or so I've been really actively writing and reading and trying to be ensconced in the literary world while being a regular 9-to-5 worker as well.
Yeah. And so you're actually part of the Octagon Collective now,
yeah,
right?
Now.
So you help run it.
Yeah, as time went on, I just got more and more involved and I was basically at every open mic session. So I, you know, just wiggled myself into into the machinations of the working of the machine. And
awesome.
Then I was asked to join. And so we've gained and lost members over the years because it's kind of always a transforming group.
And how many are you
usually? I think at the moment there's 5 of us.
Okay.
We have had more, but everybody has like a different feature. Like Nicola Thorstenson, she's our organiser. She keeps really good records and makes sure we have enough people to be our featured readers. And then the rest of us are all, we all have different little networks, so we're all different age groups. So I find it's been really fun having every month a sort of random duo of featured poets and then seeing who comes along. And there's so many people in Dunedin who write. So we do have regulars, but there's nearly every month there's someone who's never been there before, and it's so nice.
That's awesome.
It to be that first place people come to read.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think that's why it worked so well on me, that I kept going. I got into the team and now I'm a poet.
Yeah. And it's such a warm, welcoming environment as well. And, yeah, so many people there who read are coming at it at all different angles, which I really love.
It's definitely a cool way to have a little, I guess, take the temperature of what the amateur scene is in Dunedin at any given month. But we do also have people who've been going since the collective started, so that was probably in the late or mid-90s.
Yeah, wow.
So
who started it?
It was Christopher Reeve. Oh, sorry, not Christopher Reeve, that's Superman. Richard Reeve. Richard Reeve.
His brother.
And Kay Mackenzie Cook, I think,
were
part of the original group. And I think David Olds.
Okay.
But, you know, it was before my time. And
do you mean Peter Olds?
Peter Olds, yeah.
Cool.
You know the names I mean.
Yeah, yeah. I was like, wait, unless there is a David Olds.
No, and there are probably a few others, but because that was before my time, and then when I did start going, it was a different collection of people.
And was it always called Octagon?
I think it's always been, the Octagon Collective. Oh. I don't know if it started at a spot in the Octagon, but it probably did.
Yeah. And at some point, I mean, because I moved back to Dunedin in 2021, and I vaguely remember that you guys were doing workshops as well, maybe?
Oh, no, that's kind of, we always got confused, us and the Aorty Porty Writers Lab.
Ah, yes.
Because we start with O as well. But also a lot of the people who would go to the workshops,
the crossover,
would often be at the open mic nights.
Okay.
And we did have a launch of Hoot, the book that was like the culmination of the years of the Aorty Porty Writers Lab, which became known as Owl. And so the book was Hoot. And
makes sense.
We had a launch with the Octagon Collective, and that was really cool. It was a nice way to reunite people as well, because it had been online for so many years after COVID shut us all down.
So
it was cool.
It's so cool that you guys have survived through that COVID period as well. And do you think, is there scope for you to expand it and do workshops and things like that?
I think it's definitely something I've been thinking about, because people do miss the regular workshops that we're running. And, you know, they went for 5 years, and I think part of the reason they worked so well is because there was some funding from, I think, from Creative New Zealand, but also through the Dunedin City of Literature. And eventually, you know, funding became quite a tricky subject a couple of years ago. And the people who ran the production company had other things to do as well. So it sort of dissolved, not for lack of interest, but mainly for lack of funding, because we did pay the facilitators.
Yeah,
it wasn't it was free for the attendees, but the people who gave their time and energy got something out of it.
Yeah, oh, that's a great way to do it. I mean, it's so good to have workshops, I think, because writing can be such a solitary process.
And then you get inspired as well, just being in a room with other people.
Exactly, and getting feedback. And
also as a poet, it's easy to get kind of siloed into a poetry-only space, but prose and even scripts, like, we all would kind of bounce off each other, even though we all wrote different things. And I think that was a huge part of my development as a writer as well.
So do you write other things besides poetry? Or
rarely. I do find poetry is the form that really enables me to get my voice out in a way that, I mean, I hope is understandable by people outside of my head. I have written like short fiction before, but I tend to get all in my head about the direction of a plot. So the restriction of a poetic form really does help me organise my thoughts.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So your work can be found in a few places online. Are you Right, is there a book in the, well, in the midst?
Yeah, maybe. I have this year finally put a manuscript together.
Awesome.
And I've worked on it as part of a competition entry. And once I got shortlisted for that competition. And so then I thought, okay, it is something.
Yeah.
You know, a little bit of outside validation really
yeah,
helps.
Yeah. Always
helps. So I have taken that manuscript and added some things to it and bulked it up a bit. And I've submitted that to another competition for a more book length manuscript.
Awesome.
So that might come to something. But if it doesn't, now I have this manuscript to
keep molding,
to launch from.
Yeah.
Because I think I had always thought of it as a wall to climb over to get the manuscript, to get all the poems in one place.
Yeah.
It just seemed like too much of a project. But actually, once I started, you know, like all procrastination, suddenly you realize the issue was not in the task, it was in me.
And it can be quite a creative process as well, like seeing how all the poems work together.
And trying to see them from an outsider's perspective because, you know, we write for things to be read, but it is often such a solitary project that you don't have any moment to really see it from someone else's lens. And putting a collection together and trying to make each piece be related to the one before and after without it being like a straight up storyline. But, you know, there are thematic elements that work together and maybe a structural element that links a few poems together. And putting it into a manuscript like that really helped me to sort of take a step back and analyze what I had been doing and discover things about my work that I never really noticed before.
Oh, awesome.
So yeah, I was really pleased with that. So even if I don't win anything,
that's good.
I have a book. It's just in my computer.
Get in touch if you want to
right. If you're interested, I can send you a snippet.
It's quite interesting because in New Zealand, like in the UK, because I was living there for about 10 years, poets always sort of went through the same trajectory of like making a pamphlet first, you know?
Right, yeah.
Like about 20 poems and then they would do their book. But in New Zealand, we don't really do that here.
No,
people
it's
tend
hard
to just
to find.
Go straight into the book.
Mm.
I don't know what the reasoning is behind that.
Like, there's just so many poets and poetry books out there. It's if you just take a cursory glance at the scene, so to speak. So many poets have books, so it just kind of seems like, well, obviously I can have a
just
book too.
Do a book, yeah.
Yeah, and I always thought, you know, it's too late in life to start. But no, I mean, some of the best novels I've ever read have been written by people in their 60s. And, you know, a debut is a debut.
I love, bending those expectations of starting things at a different age. I think that's really important.
And you hear people say, oh, I've been writing since I was a child, and I think, well, technically I have been, but not the same way.
Writing diary. And so, what are you reading at the moment?
Well, I have this weird habit of reading a few books at once. So if I get too caught up in the subject matter or if there's like a dark patch, I'll switch to another book. But I have been reading this book right here for the past few weeks called Modern Korean Fiction, an anthology. It was published in 2005, so it's, I mean, I guess 20 years old, it's not that old, but it's a collection of Korean writers that you may not ordinarily be able to find, people who haven't been, you know, widely successful outside of Korea. Some women who had, you know, been kind of muted in the literary scene, particularly in the early 20th century. And some from the North Korean side of Korea, which is a place we don't get much information about or any, you don't really think of them as artists or poets, but you know, they're separated by an ideological space, not by any gross difference in their cultures. It's quite disappointing when you read the attitudes to each way. But anyway, this is edited by Bruce Fulton and Youngmin Kwon. And every story has been quite different. And it goes from like early 1900s through to about the late 1990s. But a lot of the stories are from the perspective of people who live in quite serious poverty, like farmers who used to work for a landlord, but then the landlord sold the land and now the people have nothing to farm. Or people who had been, you know, repressed and attacked under Japanese rule for like 35 years, now being free and having this kind of scared first step into freedom in a place that had been kind of ravaged by decades of people just exploiting the people in the country.
Yeah.
So some of the stories are a bit dark, but there are stories of love and, you know, childhood excitement. And I really love fiction that's translated.
Okay, cool.
I never used to really think about it much, but in the past few years in particular, I've been reading a lot of Korean and Japanese women authors translated by various other people. And it's just so nice to get a window into another culture that, you know, in some respects is completely alien from mine. But yeah, then once you read, you find maybe not so alien. Yeah, we all have the same fears and desires. And I mean, I feel like that's why I write and read, is all I want to do is make sure everybody understands everybody. And the more you learn, even through fiction, it really helps just build a greater respect for the world, I think.
Yeah. Have you read Han Khan's The Vegetarian?
Yeah.
Because we were talking about this on the show recently and about translated texts and how, you know, I guess a good translated text depends on the translator, right?
Definitely. And there's a translator who you may be familiar with, Anton Hur. He translated Bora Chung's Cursed Bunny, okay, which is a short story collection. And he's a science fiction author in his own right. He's a Korean, but he works mainly as a translator. And he's really opened my eyes up to the world of translation and being this sort of conduit between an author's existing text and then the rest of the world who doesn't speak their language, and trying to, you know, accurately translate the text while also try and translate some of the nuances that don't exist, like in an English translation of something.
Such an incredible skill to have. And I always think that with translated poetry as well, because of all the nuance and... It must be an incredibly trusting job to give your work to someone to translate as well, and to just assume that, I mean, if you don't speak the language that it's being translated into, that it's been done in
a lot of trust,
respectful, and hopefully upholding the work's integrity, I guess. So this year is the Writers' Festival, and you're involved in that.
I am. Yeah. So the, what do we call it, the Dunedin Writers and Readers Festival, that is on the,
so
I wrote
the 16th,
this down.
17th October?
17, 18, 19 October. And there's quite a lot to do with Hone Tuwhare this year. The Hone Tuwhare Trust have sponsored a series of poetry events, and I was asked to take part in one.
Awesome.
And the event is free, but I think registration is recommended. It's called Bingo Everyone Smiles, and the other poets are Liz Breslin, Nafanua Purcell Kersel, Isla Huia, Jess Thompson, aka Māori Mermaid, and Sila Ntuli, who I think is South African.
Is that the one at WIF? Is this happening at WIF?
No, this is at one of the conference rooms in the Harrop Centre, the town hall.
Yeah, because the whole festival is happening in the town hall this year, isn't it? Predominantly.
So, this one isn't at WIF, but It will be as if it were, in that it is a bingo session. So we've all been asked to read some poems which share words with a specific poem of Hornet. And I think the audience will be encouraged to play bingo with our words. So I don't know if there will be prizes. I know very little, in fact, besides what I've just said. So I'm also quite excited to see what happens on
that
the day.
Like a lot of fun. I've never played bingo before, but I used to hear it at this op shop I used to visit in London, and you'd hear them all playing it. Although, because you have to say a word and then like the letter, and then everyone
has
the same word.
These traditional bingo calling lines like Leagues 11 and like 10 Downing Street.
It's really great.
Stuff like that. So I'm not sure if HJ Kilkelly, who will be the MC, will be hollering like that, but maybe. I don't know if we get big dabbers or anything, but I like the idea of it being poetry where the audience is heavily encouraged to actually listen, to pick out words and fill the bingo cards.
And to be yelling them out or just filling the cards in?
I mean, I would love it if I was reading a poem and someone just stood up and yelled bingo right at us. That would be... It would be something.
It would be pretty great. Yeah, it's going to be an interesting festival this year. I'm looking forward to it. There's a lot on
so
that
much.
Week.
I mean, there always is. But every year, or every couple of years, I suppose, it's just the moment of kind of mapping out your few days, making like a matrix of like what you really want to see, what you could maybe miss,
exactly.
And things that maybe you'd never heard of, so maybe you should go.
Yeah, because there's quite a few workshops as well.
Yes.
Yeah, and it's also Lines of Flight that same weekend as well. I'm like, why does everything in Dunedin happen on the same weekend?
We just get to springtime and just cram all the events you can think of.
Hilarious. So before we wrap up, I wanted to ask you what some of your favourite poets are.
Oh, that's tricky.
Sorry, I didn't give you that question before
you came in. Well, this is a little bit of a cliche, but one of the first poets that just sprang to my head was Sylvia Plath.
Yeah, well, she's a queen.
Yeah, and it's interesting because I first read The Bell Jar when I was in high school, and I just really didn't get it because I hadn't experienced anything like that. And so I just thought, oh, yeah, that was good. Forget about it.
Yeah.
Years later, maybe 15 years later, I read it and suddenly realised, this woman is amazing.
Yeah.
And then I realised she was a poet. Like, I really had no idea. So thank you to all the films throughout my childhood that mentioned Sylvia Plath and had people reading The Bell Jar to pique my interest. But locally, I think Liz Breslin is really doing amazing work, particularly because of her
new book.
Her new book, Show You're Working Out, from Dead Bird Books, just came out a couple months back.
Bella talked about it last week on our show.
It's just such an incredible crafting exercise that she does with poetry, the chopping and rearranging. It sounds so simple, but it's really incredible the kinds of things that come out when you do that to your work.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Awesome.
But, I mean, there are so many. New Zealand and Dunedin in particular is just riddled with talented poets.
So many writers in Dunedin.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
I guess it makes sense that I moved here and never lived.
Yeah, and became a writer.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Well, thanks so much for coming into the studio and chatting with me today. And what were the dates that your poetry event was on?
Oh, so the Bingo Everyone Smiles is on the Sunday, the 19th of October. I think it's at 2:30 p.m.
Awesome. And it's free to attend as well.
It is free, yeah.
Yeah. Awesome. Cool. Well, thanks, Jasmine, and everyone. Have a great weekend, and we'll be back in a couple of weeks.
Thanks for having me.
Cheers.
Books Uncovered. Exciting conversations about books and literary events. Brought to you by the Dunedin Athenaeum Library and Mechanics Institute.
Join us, Holly and Bella, every second Saturday at 12 p.m. as we dive into themes ranging from romance to quirky book blurbs, all discovered within the depths of the Athenaeum Library.
That's Books Uncovered.
Saturdays at 12 on ORFM and online at oar.org.nz.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On Air.